Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, in 24 hours from right now, the players will be inside Soldier Field getting ready for Thursday night football.
We will be having a Bears pregame show all afternoon.
Tom Brady will be inside Soldier Field.
And he will be there more than likely without several of his top offensive threats.
I just said that you weren't going to hope sell us. I just said 5 minutes ago. You were going to give us like this the hope, but you are painting a picture that there is a doorway to win on Thursday night after the bad performance.
Adam, give me the recently released Tampa Bay Buccaneers injury report.
Okay, as I paint you a picture.
By the way, today's injury update is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org.
So, for the Bears, Deion Bush is officially out. Sherrod McManus is doubtful. Darnell Mooney with the shoulder is questionable. Ooh. For the Bucs, Chris Godwin's out. LeSean McCoy's out. Justin Watson is out. Leonard Fournette is doubtful. Mike Evans is questionable. And Scott Miller is questionable. O.J. Howard was put on IR earlier this week, so he's out as well. Plus, listen, you guys say it. You guys won't say it. I'll say it. It's Thursday night. It's short week at home. What? Trends, stats, home team. Just saying.
No, well, and listen, I mean, I'll say some negative stuff about the offense that I looked at on film today, but this sets up nicely for this Bears team. Now you got to take advantage of the good fortune that's being presented to you. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Cameron Brate, local kid, is a very good tight end. You still have Gronk. But for the most part, it's going to be an offense that is a touch neutered by injury.
But Mike Evans will probably play. You said he was questionable, right?
Yeah, but like he's not 100%.
Right.
I mean, listen, the point I'm making, and I think we're all making, is you're catching the Bucs at the right time.
Now, I want to know this, and it was perfect timing, Waddle, because I did not know that you were going to watch the All-22. But I had thought on this Wednesday, okay, like I'm picking out the T-shirts. It feels like summer out there again today, 70 plus. So I'm back in the shorts, back in a T-shirt.
I thought you were going to go with a tank top.
No tank top yet. No. I have not. I don't
Cut
think
off
I
jeans
own a
and
tank
top.
No, don't have any of that.
Sailor
I don't live
cap.
In St. Louis. Sailor cap.
Some swim goggles.
We do have swim goggles around the house. And you're going to need goggles, I think, if you want to travel, too. Don't they say, like, through the eyes is how COVID could get spread as well? That if you fly, I think you got to wear a mask and goggles.
Are goggles mandatory on flights? No.
Not mandatory, but I think
people wear the shields, so like they're coaching on the sidelines, like they're Andy Reid.
I've been instructed, like especially me with my immune system, wear goggles that you can still get it through the eye.
How about if I just wear my readers or my sunglasses?
Don't you guys remember Cap's goofy story when he went to California?
Yeah, that
he went to the Home Depot and they didn't have any goggles, so he had to go somewhere else. And he had a friend who had goggles for him.
And his brother's an eye doctor.
And then he didn't drive back, you know, the whole thing. Remember, it was a road trip, but then he didn't do it.
Yeah. Listen, it's the safer the better. You feel like you want to, you know, I mean, like, whatever makes you feel safe, you should do it.
Yes.
So that you're comfortable and you're confident.
Yes, I'm very anxious about going out these days. But anyway, that wasn't the point of any of this.
All right.
The point was that I picked out a T-shirt with the weather getting nice. The one that said, I'm like, the timing of this could not be better based on our mood this week with the Bears offense and the conversation. I wore last year's saying that you coined, less cute, more nasty. And then you told us in the pre-show fist fight that you may be more fired up today than you even were from Monday after watching the offense.
I was more depressed. Like, I mean, I live by the same motto, less cute, more nasty. At least against that Colts team, they weren't capable of that. Because one of the first things that comes to mind and that I wrote down was our offensive line was mauled. So, I mean, you can be nasty, or you can try to be nasty, But if you can't move people off the ball and you can't be in some ways a power offense, you're in trouble a little bit. There were some discouraging things. Listen, you don't need to watch the All-22 to be disappointed and down about this offense. You could see that from your couch on Sunday. I would just say that what I watched this morning left me even more disappointed. Because, as I said, the offensive line got mauled. The screen game, they could be the worst screen team I've seen in a long time.
Some things never change. Like, for years it's been, no matter who the coach is, the Bears, like, you watch the Packers every year with Favre and now Rodgers. And, like, they always would say, whether it was Dorsey Levins or Edgar Bennett or Amon Green or now with Aaron Jones, they're setting up the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's
through the
and
years,
it's,
we've never set up the screen well.
And whether or not it's the formation, it's the scheme, it's the execution. I mean, there's one, I think when Leno dives out of a cornerback's legs and misses him and blows up a screen, and it's little things like wide receivers not staying on blocks that are necessary to make plays last longer. Like, Nick Foles in the first quarter was just awful. I mean, zero accuracy. There were some throws he made throughout the game. You know, you finally see a back shoulder throw here. You see some other things there. Thought he missed a couple of reads. Like I said, I thought he was inaccurate. I didn't think he played well.
Right. He was bad.
He was bad.
For anyone who has confusion about, like, thinking that this is the Nick Foles club on the Waddle and Sylvie show.
I'm calling it as I saw it. Like I said, there were a couple of throws. The throw to Mooney was a good one. There were a couple of throws across the middle. There was a skinny post he threw to Allen Robinson that was really nice. There was a play that he threw to Anthony Miller across the middle of the field where he read the defense correctly. And he went through his progressions and found Anthony at the end of the play, about 12 or 14 yards down the field. So there were some good throws, but all in all, I thought he missed a couple of reads, especially on third down. And I think you can remember one of them. It was a sideline throw that he threw out of bounds to Mooney. Not only is Mooney wide open on that third down, so is Harris, the tight end, coming across the middle of the field. And he just made the play too hard for himself. He was inaccurate with the throw. He was inaccurate with throws to the sideline. I mean, he in the first quarter of that game, he was not good. And as I said, I think he missed some throws as well.
We found out why he didn't beat out Mitch, whether it's rust or whatever, but we found out why he probably did not.
Well,
like, they wanted to go to him, and maybe this is what they saw during the short training camp.
Listen,
yes?
Probably so. My expectation is he going to improve from what we saw on Sunday? Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is that's a very good, very disciplined Colts defense that makes very few to no mistakes. Like, they never bust a coverage. They're physical up front. They pursue. They run to the ball. Like, you're going to have to be on your P's and Q's to move the football on them. And they got roughed up at the line of scrimmage. I thought the quarterback was inaccurate. There's very little space between receivers and cornerbacks. There, you know, some of the route combos I don't get. There aren't a ton of route combos. There's not a lot of separation. I mean, it was just really, and the one play that summarized it all for me, if you said to me, boy, that was horse manure on Sunday across the board, give me one play that kind of summarizes how they perform. And I can guarantee you can guess which play it is.
Is it the deep pass to Patterson?
Okay, so on that play, Daniels gets beat off the jump. And whoever the defensive lineman was almost completely destroyed Nick Foles' left knee. But Foles gets the ball off. And Patterson, I believe, is running a post route. And the ball is remarkably well thrown considering the pressure that Foles was under.
Right, same thing like with the game-winning throw against Atlanta. He was hit right when he threw it.
No doubt. And for some reason, like, Patterson slows down, flinches, and tries to catch the football with one hand. Like an accomplished wide receiver plants his foot, goes up, catches the ball at its highest point because it was there to be caught. There was a defensive back coming at him from a distance. I think he saw that guy.
Allegheny.
It bothered him. He may have been fearful of getting hit, and it changed the way he went up for the ball. And the truth is that the guy took such a bad angle, if Cordero would have just gone up and caught the ball, he probably catches it and goes to the end zone. And it's just like your guard blows a blocking assignment, gets your quarterback almost killed. The quarterback makes a throw, and your wide receiver, who really has never established, he's an all-pro, not a pro bowler, he's an all-pro special teamer. He's a fantastic special teamer. There's a reason why he's never really excelled as a wide as a special teamer. There's a reason why he's never really excelled as a receiver. And the plays just you bang your head against the wall going, you know, that was Sunday in a nutshell. That was Sunday in a nutshell. And I'm telling you, you just come away from it and I'm scratching my head and I'm no genius and I'm just wondering, what are we doing here in a lot of instances? Like, what are we, like, route combinations? Like, I'm seeing a lot of spread and they're running four hitch routes. How about a hitch with a corner route and a deep over from the two slot guys? Like I said, I'm no genius, but I'm just trying to figure out what it is what the game plan is.
So I was going to say, is it, because you mentioned a lot of player execution until that point. Like you were talking about James Daniels getting blown up.
Yeah.
Patterson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel worse, no different, or better about Matt Nagy after watching that?
I'm just kind of in this phase of I just don't know what's going on. Like, I don't feel better. Because, listen, when you're struggling to find openings, here's a good example. If you put the tape on of the Detroit Lions game, he did a fantastic job scheming guys open. The first touchdown, I believe it was, maybe it was the second one. The first one may have been that little fade route, back shoulder throw to Jimmy Graham. But the second one that Wims caught, it was beautifully designed. It was well thought out. It was beautifully designed. Now, they were picking on a secondary that was bad and injured. But it was a really good play design, and I could understand what you were trying to accomplish. The touchdown pass to Anthony Miller against the Lions, first of all, I think it may have been the best throw of the entire first week of the season for any quarterback. I think it was just a beautiful throw. But it schemed perfectly open. Matt put him in a formation where he knew what the defense was going to be, and then you got the exact matchup you wanted. And all you really had to do was Anthony Miller needed to beat his guy at the line of scrimmage and Mitch needed to throw it to the pylon. But that was all. They schemed that. So it's in there somewhere. Some of that play creating stuff is in there. But there are a lot of instances where you're asking yourself. Now, look, if you had the Chiefs personnel, and you're just like, you know what, we're just going to line up and our guys are going to beat your guys because our guys are better than your guys. That's different. I don't necessarily say that that's the case. And I think they've got to do a better job helping their receivers and their quarterback with formation and motion and route combinations to create some space out there.
I asked the boys yesterday, and then I want to take some calls here, 312-332-3776. Who do you trust most for the Bears right now? Is it Nick Foles? Is it Matt Nagy? Or is it Ryan Pace? The three most important positions in the Chicago Bears hierarchy is the quarterback, the coach, and the general manager. Want to weigh in about tomorrow's Bucks game. I want to get into some Tom Brady conversation, how he was considering the Bears. Would it look different if Brady was here? But get ready, Black Abdallah, Waddle, with your puke sound effects. I am going to do something that I very rarely do, and that is to pitch you a trade. And to make matters worse, I know your gut instinct is going to be to make a dry heaving sound effect on the air. That's how bad this is. But I'm still going to try and pitch you guys this idea coming up next.
Mom always said, have a heart. Now Great Clips is making that easy. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, and support the 13th annual Have a Heart campaign for the local Ronald McDonald House. With a donation of $2 or more, receive $2 off your next haircut. Show your heart by giving families the gift of comfort and care the local Ronald McDonald House provides. Great Clips has raised over $800,000, enough to keep over 10,000 families together for the night. So donate today. Plus, Great Clips, they want you to feel good about getting a great haircut. And that's why they created the Great Care Promise, their commitment to keeping everyone as safe as possible inside the salon. From contactless check-in and social distancing to rigorous sanitation and mask requirements at all Great Clips locations, they are doing more to keep their salons clean and comfortable. Check in online. Get a Ready Next text when you are next in line. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Don't forget, you could watch us now every single day. Not just listen, whether it's the ESPN Chicago app or your radio or your at-home smart speaker. You can watch us. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Welcome to everybody in the Twitch chat room today. You can see Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio. Got the Nike
visor on.
Visor on.
I'm about to make a play on the Astros on the money line.
Yeah, we got to get to that later, yeah. Too. You're an Astros
Oh, you hate
lover.
It, don't you?
Yeah,
you hate it. I'm not a lover.
Cheater,
I'm not a lover. I just think that there's some funny things going on. That's Adam Abdallah right there. He actually made a play on the Astros as well. They're pimping people right now. They're pimping people.
What do you got on the odds there?
They're minus 107 on the money line to win the game today.
Okay, so pretty even.
Yeah.
And then what's his name is in pitching, right? Don't they? Didn't Dusty have to go to somebody else today?
Jose, Urquidy.
Yeah,
Urquidy. Yeah, I don't know. They got my money though. That's all I know.
Yeah, okay. the unofficial official team that the Waddle and Sylvie show. At least the three of us who are here in the studio.
No, I'm
Sylvie,
opposite. I'm opposite.
You're Oppo.
With you.
Oppo. Well, I'm the Oppo. Three of us. It's the official unofficial team that we're supporting now. That the Cubs and the Sox are both
that's
out
amazing.
Of the playoffs.
Team chaos.
That's our team.
Worthy of phone calls, too, that Waddle, yeah. Bleck, and Abdallah yeah. have now, adopted the yeah. Astros.
No, time out. Time out for a second. Like, yeah. I'm not riding in their vehicle on this. I'm just trying to make some cash on them.
But you said right? you said today that there's a part of you, maybe not all of you, there's a part of you that wants to see the Astros say stick it to the refs.
Yeah. Baseball show co-signs
that. What were we saying? What was the word we were using in the other room? That it was like...
Chaos.
Chaos. That was the word. It was like that's... For those who like chaos, the Astros winning creates chaos because everyone's going to hate it.
Yeah.
So if you're one of these contrarians that loves chaos...
Yeah.
Then I think that there's... piece of you again
it's more
I'm
than
not,
I don't like
I'm not
I don't
going
like
on the chaos I'm not going yeah. on the chaos vacation with these two. I'm just trying to win a little cash because they've got a little mojo going right now and they're playing with a little chip on their shoulder, so I'm trying to make some money here.
Look,
that's what I'm trying to do.
I
don't have any Astros gear.
no there's no Astros.
You have a garbage
gear.
Can
no
I can go get one. Hold
to
on.
Listen, today I got money on them. If I could tell them what pitch is coming, I would.
To stick it to can. To stick it to old-timey baseball guy, you got a trash can right behind you.
That's
there's
awesome.
A metal trash can
oh,
right behind
wait
you
wait. Let's
go
be touching the trash cans these days.
Hey,
two for a slider. What kind
hands.
Of what kind of pitch we had? Two for a slider, one for a curve. What do I got?
Slider.
You have a hockey stick.
Sorry. Let's go, Astros.
Okay. Listen, I'm just trying to earn some money here. A little extra money, feed the kids. That's all I'm doing.
Look, it would get me to tune in because too often when your team is out, you don't care about baseball. There's no emotion because you're emotionally invested in your team. In football, you can get on board watching any team, anytime, anywhere. But baseball, not so much. I think an Astros-Yankees
yeah.
ALCS
yeah.
would bring the emotion.
Now you're talking.
It's an Astros-Dodgers in the World Series
right.
would yeah. bring in
fire.
The casual
now you're yeah. Now you're seeing things the way that we were talking about. Listen.
But I want them in there to lose.
The A's in the if I've got money on the Yankees when they're playing, then I want the Yankees to win. I'm following the green. Okay, I'm not wearing their jersey.
Yeah, look, yesterday I was a Marlins fan. We were all Marlins fans yesterday. Guess what? Now I'm a Braves fan. fan today. Right. I'm a Braves fan. They're up 2-0. I'm a Braves
fan. You're a man of many hats. It depends on where your money is.
Sylvie was right. We're already being shamed in the Twitch chat. Shame on Abdallah, Bleck, Waddle for all jumping on to another team.
It's
like
the playoffs.
Astros.
Our team's
on
it.
It's okay to jump on another team.
I'm using my DraftKings and Casino Queen sportsbook app to try to make money.
Double down, my friend.
I got $10 on them, okay? Lots of cash on them at -107.
Got to buy some new tees, right?
It's a juicy series. The A's and the Astros had words. They had speaks earlier in the year, didn't they? You can't tell me that teams aren't trying, almost probably gripping the bat handle too tight, to kick the Astros' ass. It's a good, it's chaos. It's a good story. I'm just telling you.
You know how
2-0.
Much I dislike them.
I know, but like, and that's part of the watch.
Intrigue.
That's the intrigue.
It's right. Like, I watch the Lakers to see LeBron lose. Unfortunately, I'm not going to get that.
And I think the Astros are playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder with a little bit of momentum. Dusty's in the dugout with a toothpick and a batting gloves. And I think they're going to win today. That's why I put $10 on them. When I win, I'm not going to go out and buy an Astros hat.
Can I say something really quick while I just brought up LeBron? Because this is going to eat at me here. I'm going to have to go on a national television boycott in a couple of days, just for a few days, when the LeBron topic comes on again about the LeBron being the GOAT, stupidity that is involved when this was a done deal 5 years ago that he wasn't and could never be. Like, I don't understand. When Michael Jordan played, Michael Jordan was always, no matter who they played, the best player on the court. Always. Every game, every year. Yeah. Like, LeBron, there's been many times through these NBA finals when he's not even the best damn player on his own team. He's not even going to win the MVP.
I have not. He has to lead the game, the league, the season, the career in complaints. I get it. All NBA players complain. Not a single one of them ever thinks they commit a foul. But nobody goes to the lengths that LeBron does to plead his case about poor little LeBron. You fouled me, or you called a foul on me. Sometimes it does get a little too much to take. And I like LeBron.
I believe less people are watching because they're tired of LeBron in many ways. I believe that. I really do. You think that if Michael Jordan was going to get coronated as the greatest player ever, that people would be tuning out instead of tuning in? Get out of here. It's going to be asinine.
Are you sharing my irritation, though, with the amount of bitching and moaning that's going on?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody.
He poses after every time he gets fouled like he wants to fight Crowder. You know what I mean? Did you see that a couple times yesterday?
Yeah, I just don't like, you know what? I mean, you're 6'8" and you're 240 pounds. Like, the contact that has been made with you quite a bit probably feels like a flea biting your skin. So I get it. It may technically be a foul, but the flopping and the completes, I'm just saying.
It's how he's always played, though.
I know. It's infuriating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I blame Bleck. I blame the national blockers.
No. Sylvie's not going to be able to listen to Nick Wright for the next month now.
Right. Guys like that. The people
just slurping it.
He's the greatest.
I'm good with a good critical eye, and I'm always good with evolving. Like, the game always gets better. The athletes get better. I get it. I'm not closed-minded. But what they do, the national talkers, is they don't even allow me to appreciate the greatness of LeBron because they have to go to the greatest of all time. Can't the conversation just be, look, what he had to overcome with this team in the bubble, it's really, really hard. It should be admired. This is fantastic what he did. Let's talk about this in this year's 2020 scope. They've got to bring Michael Jordan into it, because if they don't bring Michael Jordan into it, nobody else is interested in the conversation. And now what you force me to do is you force me to turn you off, because you have to go from zero to LeBron.
And here's my counter, Sylvie, to that. This is what you tell those people. Michael Jordan wouldn't have lost a game in the bubble. You know why? I watched The Last Dance. We all watched The Last Dance. Michael Jordan would have had those dudes in a hotel room or out in the common area up until 6 a.m. playing cards, and then he would have dropped 50 on that ass the next night. You know it. You know it.
I love it.
So don't tell me that LeBron needs all of his beauty sleep and his rejuvenation and his cryo chambers, and then he needs to send an early morning text to his team to get them motivated. Hell no. Jordan would have been playing poker until 6 in the morning, went fishing, came back, played a quick 36, and then been at the game, dropping 50 on whoever the hell it was. He wouldn't be starting coffee companies. He wouldn't be...
Oh, wait a minute now. That's kind of fun.
And when we come back from this break, we'll break down the Dallas Cowboys.
I know, and I wanted to get into my Bears trade thing, too.
Skip.
This was fun talking about the Astros and LeBron hate. I'm good with it. Line it up. Who do you hate more, LeBron or the Astros? 332-3776.
I just want the Astros to win so I can cash a ticket on my DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app.
Yeah, whether it's for gambling purposes or just to make watching a game interesting, I think it's cool to adopt a team when your team's out. I love it.
I'm going to adopt the Padres last night and got slapped. Like, I'd adopt the Astros for today. I'll probably
have slapped you.
Actually, that game was 1-0 and then 1-1. And I don't think they had a hit until the fourth or fifth inning. And then the Dodgers just exploded on them.
Yeah. All right. 312-332-3776. A lot there. That was fun, though. And we'll continue to have fun. We want to hear from you.
Oh, you got to give us your trade.
I know. And you guys are going to throw up. I want you to think if you could guess what I'm going to pitch to you guys.
Okay.
That's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, tomorrow we've got the Bears and Bucks. It's the short week. Told you about the injury report. The Bucks shorthanded. Godwin's out for sure. Mike Evans questionable. They've already had O.J. Howard out on the IR.
I think you got a time. This is you caught them at the right time. I don't know if there's any a good time to catch Tom Brady, but he's going to be shorthanded
at 43 and shorthanded. Maybe it is the good time.
I will say this: if he tries to throw that 15-yard out on Kyle Fuller, it's going to be a tutty for us the way it has been in a couple of the games, like. I'm not telling you that the Bears defense is going to...
Someone drops it.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, like, if he wants to try to make that sideline throw, I'm confident that Kyle Fuller can make him pay for it. Now, that stuff over the middle and all that other stuff, you can keep an eye on that. But, like, the deep outs, I think we can handle that.
Yeah. All right, can I pitch you all my
right.
trade? Let me call the phone line for this, all right? I want to be like a caller. Can I do that?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to turn. Hold on here. I'm going to call Abdallah on my speakerphone here, and then I'll do it just like because I never do this either. I never. All right, here's Abdallah. Let me turn down my microphone.
It says "dumbass" in Deerfield. Is that right?
Yes. Hello there, Tom. Hi, Sylvie. Waddle. I was a big fan of yours.
You're a liar.
You're a guy that just represents Chicago. I wish we had more guys who would just show up and play football and just worry about
football. All
right,
get to your point, champ.
I got a trade for you guys. I know you may not like it right away, but...
Have you been drinking?
If Ryan Pace is listening, he was just benched. There was just 2 years ago that Dwayne Haskins beat out Joe Burrow at Ohio State. What if we sent Mitch Trubisky to Washington and we got Dwayne Haskins back in return and just check what's under the hood and find out if he could be maybe a quarterback of the future? We know Trubisky's not going to work. And, Ron Rivera coached in North Carolina. Maybe he's a fan of Mitch Trubisky. I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, I know it's dumbass in Deerfield, so I got to take that into consideration. But, I wouldn't completely write it off. I wouldn't.
You guys don't want to puke from that?
No, I wouldn't puke. That doesn't make me want to puke.
I did.
I mean, guys, I'm open to absolutely any suggestion for trying to solve the quarterback position here
in
town.
Amen.
Like, I'm not going to shut the door on anything. Like, You give me some time to think it over, to look through some things, talk to some people, and I may come back and say no to you. But at this point, depending on who you're going to, like, I don't want Josh Rosen, okay? That's probably the one guy I would say no.
Look, just because Josh Rosen failed, and here's my point of dollar, then you can rebut. And look, I don't know. Maybe he's unsalvageable. You're never going to be able to trade for a young quarterback who's good, okay? So it's always going to look messy. It's always going to make you want to puke a little bit because he's underachieved, but they've had very little patience with him. I think he's already on his third head coach because last year Gruden got fired. So he played for his head coach. He played for his interim coach. He's playing for Ron Rivera right now. He's a former first-round pick, a guy who threw for 50 touchdowns at Ohio State.
There's some questions about why he's being benched because there's a lot of people that have looked at the tape and they looked at how he played this past week and weren't completely discouraged by what they saw. So there have to be some questions that need to be asked.
Of course, I'm not saying trade for him sight unseen.
Yeah.
I am saying for a very low draft pick, if you want to take Mitch back, whatever. We know Mitch isn't going to work. So let's turn over every possible rock here to see if there's a solution, to see if Nagy can develop somebody.
Well, here's
again, it's you trade with stock low.
But here's your problem.
What's your problem?
You're 3-1. Okay? If Nick Foles, who has a history of being hurt, gets hurt, you're going to go back to Mitch. Mitch has been in the system now for 2+ years. This is his third year. You may have in your mind moved on. Well, at the very least, you don't have to teach Mitch the system if Nick goes out. Whereas Dwayne Haskins would have to come in and get acclimated with the system and all of his teammates to step in and play. So, like, for the calendar year of 2020, again, you're 3-1 at this particular moment. You're not going to bring in a quarterback at this time to replace a guy that, yes, you've moved on in your head as a starter, but as a backup, you still have the comfort of having him there.
Go ahead.
Okay, if it's not Mitch straight up, I'm talking low-level pick, okay? Because they're done with him. I don't know if you read, Alex Smith is the number two quarterback. They're going to be in the running to draft one of these top quarterbacks. They're done with him. He's going to be the third-string quarterback. You are activating Tyler Bray on game day because you want another voice for Nick Foles. So you can have three quarterbacks on your roster. So you trade a sixth-round pick and you say, let me get a look for a year at Dwayne Haskins. And what's the harm if he's no good? It was a sixth-round pick.
Well, I mean, and I would ask you, I would bounce back with, how do you know it's only going to take a sixth-round pick for a kid who's in his third year and was the second year, rather, and was the 15th pick of the draft?
He's their third-string quarterback. They're done with him. They're going to draft somebody else. Who's in line for Dwayne Haskins right now? Which team?
Don't know.
You are trading right now for low-level stuff with the hope of a change of scenery.
I think somebody would offer you more than a sixth-round pick for Dwayne Haskins. There are a lot of teams out there that find themselves in quarterback situation.
Well, my counter trade would be that, and Bleck, keep your pants on, is that the Jets are the worst team in the league. They'd be stupid not to draft Trevor Lawrence, which means Sam Darnold is going to be available. Do you make a trade?
Oh, man.
Easy. Keep them on.
Think about it.
This is a family show.
Waddle, how could
do you like Sam Darnold?
Dude, what, this guy
do
is
I
the
like
big,
Sam
he bets
Darnold.
On the Jets
hold
every
on,
week.
On. Why wouldn't I like Sam Darnold? You see what he did at USC? Did you see?
I've
the
seen
comebacks?
What he's done. Yeah, I've seen
did
what he's
see
done.
What
in,
he did
I've seen what he's done in 2018 and 19
so
in the NFL.
So is it coaches malpractice? Is that what you're saying with Darnold?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Lack of talent around him, too.
That's fine, but Sam Darnold is a rookie through 15 picks. Last year, he threw 13 picks. He's thrown 28 picks in his first 2 years and only played 26 games. Like, he's got the interception disease, and I don't want to catch it.
We've been through that.
Wear a mask.
I'm just saying, like, Sam Darnold doesn't answer my questions.
I'm open to all of this, Black. Like, I think that's a trade that maybe during the offseason. I don't know if they're going to trade him now.
No, this would be an offseason trade.
Right,
because,
right. I just want to turn over every rock. Like, I'd go to the Falcons, too, and I would say, you guys are 0-4. And I don't know if it's before the trade deadline or if it's in the offseason. Like, I'm looking for the next guy somehow, some way to figure it out. Is Matt Ryan going to be can you trade for him? Can you trade for Sam Darnold?
Why would the Falcons trade Sam Darnold or trade Matt Ryan?
Because they may be they're winless. I mean,
they could possibly be in contention to draft Lawrence or Fields.
Right, right. Again, and I'm looking for a team. Look, the Chargers moved on from Phillip Rivers. I'm looking for a team that may be willing to give you a quarterback that's better than what you have now. You're not going to have the number one pick to draft Lawrence next year if you're the Bears.
Look, I'm with you. I'm not closing any doors on anything. Like, my comments about Sam Darnold, I'm very skeptical. Would I completely dismiss it? No, but it wouldn't be high on my list. But I'm with you. I'm the same reason I would not close the door on dumbass in Deerfield when he called in and asked about making the trade for Haskins. I thought Haskins was really good at Ohio State. I mean, I don't know why it's gone. That's true. I don't know why it's gone in the wrong direction. In Washington.
A lot of it, I think, is coaching, too. Like, sure. Gruden didn't want him originally, okay? He didn't want him. The owner wanted him. And then Gruden may have never developed him the right way. Gruden gets fired.
I'd definitely
He's
be open
for a
to.
Second coach in his rookie year. Maybe he wasn't even prepared to play. And now this year he's playing for a third coach, and he's already been benched.
So when you look at Washington, what you're thinking is they're going to try and tank to get Trevor Lawrence? So they're going to go with who they're going with. Who's
they're
the going
to draft a quarterback?
Kyle,
aren't they?
Who are they? Is Kyle it Kyle Allen?
Yeah, he's
and
starting.
Now, I mean, you know, like, I think also that the Alex Smith story is one of the most remarkable stories of the last 10 years. I'm scared to death.
Me too.
If he goes into a game, he's going to get hurt. Just as a human being, I'm fearful for him.
312-332-3776. Admittedly, I'm giving you clearance sale items. But when you're in the Bears position, why not? 332-3776. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
sports. 312-332-3776. Take your phone calls. Throw out there Dwayne Haskins. If I'm Ryan Pace, and I know it sounds smelly, I know it sounds pukey, but you're not going to get somebody whose arrow is pointing up at this point. And you're done with Mitch anyway. Why not? If for low level, I'm always the believer that you buy low. Buy low. And what's the harm in finding out?
Sylvie, is this question assuming the Bears don't draft a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, this is now. Like, I would do it before the trade deadline. Yeah. Like,
you're just not trading Mitch. You need Mitch as a backup
because
you're still you view yourself as a playoff team.
Every one of these options, I would rather draft a new quarterback in the first round than go bargain shopping for someone who is used up by someone else.
You could do that too, though. I mean, like, again, if it's low level stuff, Black. But do you trust Ryan Pace to get it right?
No.
See, I read something. I think this has been one of the conversations on Twitter or on some of the football shows recently too. And I heard the comment, and I do believe it. There are more young quarterbacks that are ruined by bad coaching than there are those that develop.
Yes. Yes.
So. I mean, I do believe that you can take one player in certain instances who has struggled at some point and get the most. And I think Alex Smith is probably one of them. He was the first overall selection coming out of Utah and did some decent things for San Francisco, but was never the player there that he was in Kansas City.
Like, was Kurt Warner developed right after he got back? Did he fall on the right team with the right coordinator, or would he have been great with anybody? If Tom Brady would have been drafted here, would he have turned into Tom Brady?
Good question.
You know, like, again, there's a lot of development in on this. Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chase.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah. Hey. I got one for y'all, right? And don't call me crazy if I say it. I got two of them. Okay. How about you trade Trubisky, your first round pick, for Carson Wentz, or trade or what's up with that coach from the guy? What's his name? Brissett.
Who?
What's the
Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
See,
what do you think about that?
I
don't think he's a solution for a franchise quarterback.
I don't either, but again, you're not going to trade. They're not trading Mitch because you're going to need, again, unless you get to the second half, or well, I don't even know when the trade deadline is, but if Nick Foles, based on his history of not being able to stay healthy for an extended period of time, where do you find yourself? You're 3-1. I mean, you're lucky as hell to be 3-1. But you're 3-1. So, like, if for whatever reason Nick Foles succumbs to injury, which is something that has happened in the past, what are you doing next? You're not, again, listen to me. You've done enough squandering this defense, this timeline where this defense has been really good. Elite in 18, really good in 19, still good in 20. You can't waste these years because you won't have them forever. So you've got to still be in win now mode. And part of that is having a backup that can step in and you feel somewhat comfortable with.
DJ on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, DJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Sylvie. Hey, congratulations. Good luck to you, my brother.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And T. Wizzle.
Yep.
You know, over the years when I call in, I always use this phrase called mired in ineptitude. And that's where we are again. And I've been, and this has been like 3-4 years in a row. Probably even going back to the end of Lovey there. But we have a failure to develop quarterbacks, bad drafting with Pace in office. And it's just mired in ineptitude, man. You're just spinning your wheels. I'm listening to these half-baked ass plans that you guys are coming up with.
No.
That's on the for real. Because it's, you know, you're at DEFCON 5. You're about to squander that defense. About to squander that.
Amen.
You've been squandering it.
Yeah.
You've been squandering good defense since what was that, 2006,
There was a dip there. I think that they were like, listen, even at the end of the John Fox era, the defense was playing decent football, good football. So the trend started to be your friend again with this defense at the end of Foxy's tenure, and certainly in 18. I mean, they were elite.
But Waddle, as you know, is an 85 Bear. Oh, like, even those 80s Bears teams were ruined. They had the great defense because we connect, like, McMahon was always hurt.
This is,
and whether it was Tom Zach or Flutie or...
That's why I'm saying, like, yeah. DJ's right. I mean, these moments don't... What did Billy Joel say? These moments, whatever, they don't last forever. These
said, only red, the good die young.
Uptown Girl?
No, stop it. You know what? You guys are asses because you know you're just trying to confuse an old man whose brain isn't working correctly.
You said what Billy Joel said. We're having you.
These days won't last. I'll get it at the break. Anyway, my point is...
We didn't start the fire.
Didn't start the fire.
Yeah, there you go.
No. Stop, because then my brain's going to completely shut down.
Baby, We Were Born to Run?
No. I'm saying to you that you... I mean, at some point, this defense, you're going to actually have legitimate concerns. Like, we bitch and moan about this defense now because they're not shutting everybody out and taking it away every series.
Sing us a song, Mr. Piano Man.
I'm just saying, you better square it up now. But DJ's thing, I'm telling you, when I watched that film this morning, and I get it, the Colts were DVOA or whatever you guys use and call it, the cool kids, they're really good. They're sound. But it was just like... It was disheartening watching what the Bears offense was trying to do on all levels.
Yeah.
They couldn't move anybody to run the football. The quarterback was inaccurate. He missed a couple of reads here and there. I mean, like, I'm telling you. It's just, it was, I sat in my chair and I was sucking my thumb and crying. I mean, it was just like, we got 12 weeks now. We had 12 weeks to figure this out. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, like, seriously, I was watching it going to myself.
Broken Waddle.
Well, no. And they haven't broken me because, but I'm just saying it was disheartening. They couldn't move anyone. We made 1,000 little mistakes that, like, the Colts weren't making. Again, like, you throw a screen pass to your wide receiver, and one of your other receivers' job is to keep the corner away from it so the play extends and he doesn't hold his guy.
All right.
Leno's diving at a cornerback's legs as they're trying to get a screen. I mean, it's just...
You're depressing me.
All of it was just kind of like, I watched it, it was like...
Been watching it for the longest time.
Way to bring him back, Abdallah. All right, 2 minutes away, Yurko's going to join us. We also wanted to know that even though the defense really isn't terrible, they're still really good, and 19 points should be enough to win.
These are the times to remember, or they will not last forever. These are the days to hold on to. I don't know the rest of Billy Joel's song.
Yurko's going to join us and tell us, why isn't Mac and Quinn dominating like we thought they would? That's coming up in 2 minutes.